We'll next hear from counsel in United States v. Garcia-Aguilar.
Good morning, Your Honors. David Zuckman on behalf of Mr. Garcia-Aguilar. I really did try to settle this case, Your Honors. I'm a little bit flummoxed. I'm a little bit flummoxed by the government's 28-J letter of yesterday, where the government argues that it cited the two cases on California receipt of stolen property as those were just supposed to go to the plain error because these two cases existed. And, you know, that's not what they argued in their response brief. In their response brief, they argued these cases held that 496 were aggravated felonies. And that's not what those cases said. It's not at all what they said. But it's kind of ironic and a little bit amusing that the government is now arguing, well, even if the cases didn't say that, had the district court, you know, done the cursory review of those cases that we did, they also might have wrongly concluded that 496 was an aggravated felony. So I think right now I have a freestanding challenge to 496 being overbroad. The Claussen and Julian cases from the California Supreme Court saying...
Suppose it's not an aggravated felony. How does that affect this case?
Well,
Aside from a theoretical argument that the district court wouldn't have done what it did if it had known that.
Well, we all know that Judge Burns would have imposed a sentence above 24 months had he had
so
any ability.
So it's kind of irrelevant
but
in
it's not
terms the, of what was done here, is it not?
I don't think so, because this court in Cantrell said that...
Excuse me?
This court in Cantrell said that when you miscalculate the guidelines, that's a significant procedural error. We don't...
It is a procedural error, but if it wouldn't have made any difference in the world, you know, there's the old Williams case from the Supreme Court, they, you know, if it wouldn't make any difference in the world, why spend a lot of time on that? Don't you have a different problem?
Well, I think Your Honor's consolidated this with another case on 496, so I thought that might have been a point of interest. But, yeah, you're totally right in saying that Judge Burns was going to impose as much time as he possibly could. And I think that the real meat and potatoes of this issue is...
So get to the meat. What stopped him from giving a five-year term of probation? Why couldn't he do that?
Oh, well, it's simple. Mr. Garcia-Aguilar had served 2 years. We all recognize that he had spent more than 2 years.
I don't see why that's relevant. You're at sentencing, and let's say he'd served one day short of 2 years.
Okay.
For example. Seems to me at sentencing, doesn't the judge have certain possibilities? He can sentence a person to prison and then give credit for time served.
Sure.
Put him on supervised release.
Sure.
Right? Or you could put him on probation.
Sure. Yeah.
True?
Yeah.
So if the person has served his 2 years of prison, that doesn't prevent the judge, seems to me, from imposing a 2-year prison term, give him credit for time served, and put him on supervised release. I think you agree he could put him on supervised release in this case.
Yeah, 1 year.
He could have done that, right?
He should have done that, yes.
You think he should have, really?
Yeah, told him he should, yes.
The supervised release follows a prison term. It doesn't just come out of the air.
Correct.
Sure? So he'd have had to impose a term of imprisonment.
But he'd served 2 years. Judge Burns recognized that.
That's not what he served. If the judge at sentencing said, you know what, this guy shouldn't have served anything. I'm not going to give him any term of imprisonment. He never should have served a bit. So my judgment will be no term of imprisonment.
But there's no question here that Judge Burns was imposing a sentence as harsh as he possibly could in violation of what the statute provided for.
Answer his question. Where did he say anything about what imprisonment term he'd ever imposed?
When he admitted him to bail.
He put him on probation.
My point is, when he admitted him to bail, when we first appeared in the district court in October, I think it was 14th, district court Judge Burns said, I'm going to give him an OR release right now because I recognize he has already served more than 2 years. You can't make it up and pretend like Mr. Garcia-Aguilar wasn't in prison for that time. There's no question. I went and saw him. He was in jail for those 2 years, and that was the maximum he could serve under the statute.
What's that got to do with sentencing?
It has everything. I mean,
what?
This allows
the
district court...
What does it have to do with imposing sentence? Not as opposed to imposing imprisonment. What does it have to do with imposing
Your Honor,
sentence?
I respectfully, that seems sophist to me. That seems sophist to me. To pretend
what does
like
that mean, sophist?
It means it's legal.
I'm just from Idaho. I don't understand all these big California terms, I guess.
But it means that you're pretending that there is some ethereal sentencing principle that can make do away with the fact that Mr. Garcia Aguilar served the statutory maximum for his offense. We all agree he did that.
Let me ask you a question. If the guy violates the terms and conditions of his probation,
yes,
he then can get a sentence, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Well, at that time, then the judge could impose a 2-year sentence and give him 2 years credit.
Yeah, I
and
think
then give him suspended.
He may have banked custody credits.
I mean, he has banked custody credits. All he has is a probation sentence.
Right. Yeah, but I don't think we should be going down this road.
But the bottom line is my colleague's question. I'd like to hear a good answer to rather than call it some word I don't understand. Well, I'd like to know where it is that you find any statute in the federal system which suggests that a judge has to impose a prison sentence.
What?
That he just can't impose a probation sentence.
I can actually name a number of statutes.
Well, name one.
Okay, 1324, 3 years minimum. 841, 5 years, 10 years.
Well,
minimum.
But they don't say, they just say how much time they serve.
Well, you,
but they don't say you cannot serve probation without prison.
I surrendered the position that probation was not an authorized sentence. I agree that probation is an authorized sentence. I'm not arguing that probation is an unauthorized sentence. All I'm saying is we all know that Mr. Garcia Aguilar served the statutory maximum. We also know that he got probation plus the statutory maximum. And the Martin case from the Second Circuit says that probation plus statutory maximum exceeds the statutory maximum.
He's never been sentenced to the statutory maximum.
I think, you know, you're going to create a clear conflict with Martin. Because in Martin, he gave him probation, and he said, look, you can't, if you give him probation plus the statutory maximum now, he'll be serving in excess of the statutory maximum. You will be creating a clear conflict with Martin should you say that the fact that Mr. Garcia Aguilar served his 2 years, which he had to serve, is meaningless, and Judge Burns could simply ignore that fact.
Let's go around the other way. Let's say the judge had said what he said here. I'm going to give him a 2-year term with credit for time served, followed by five years of supervised release. Impose the same conditions.
That'd be an easy appeal to win because that would be a sentence. The supervised release is controlled by 3583, and it would be you can only give him up to 1 year because it's a 2-year statutory cap. There's a clear rule on point with respect to how long the supervised release can be. It's only 1 year. There's no question about that.
So as far as the 1 year, so they've been valid for 1 year, but not beyond.
Right. So, I don't like taking shots in this kind of case, but it really, he served his 2 years. The other three guys got their time served and their 1 year supervised release, and everybody served in excess of the statutory maximum. In this case, the four defendants that were part of Garcia Aguilar's mandamus. You know, it's needless to have this argument. Judge Burns should just impose 2 years and 1 year supervised release, and he comes back in the 1326. He'll get hammered.
What had the other two guys?
Time served. Everybody got time served except for Mr. Garcia Aguilar.
Do you know why?
Yes. I know exactly why.
Is it in the record?
No. But, you know, it's also the case that Judge Burns didn't want to accept this plea at the get-go. And he, you know, putatively was not accepting it to protect Mr. Garcia Aguilar, when in truth and in fact, we all know that Judge Burns wanted to impose more than 2 years. He thought more than 2 years was warranted. He was trying to impose a sentence longer than what the law allowed. You can't allow that to stand.
Well, the trouble that I have is that I was on the district bench once in Idaho, and there were all these aliens who were coming to Idaho and digging spuds and doing all the things they have to do with sugar beets. And when they come, you put them on probation, and you give them a big sentence to sit there, and you put them back so that they have to go back to Mexico. The probation is as long as you can make it, and the sentence is too, because you're hoping to give them a little deterrence. And it seems to me that this particular sentence is the same. It is a deterrence. It is said, how many times have you got to come across the border and do all these thefts and do what you've done here and not have anything, not have any big problem that you're going to face? And so he said, let's give him the maximum probation we can give.
I mean, that's
and then when we give him the maximum probation, if he ever does it, I haven't got any time, I'll have to give him suspended sentence.
I seem to remember the government arguing just a few minutes ago that probation was for the purpose of rehabilitation and not for deterrence.
It is for rehabilitation. The guy is rehabilitated because he stays at home and he does what he has to do.
Okay.
I mean, my problem is that you have to convince me, in order for me to go with where you're going to go, that there's some statute here that says that this judge could not give probation.
I don't have that statute. I just have the undisputed fact that he served the statutory maximum. I'm out of time. Thanks, Your Honors.
Thank you. We'll hear from the government.
Good morning. Kyle Hoffman for the United States. I'd like to just make three factual points, which I think go to Judge Fernandez's questions and Judge Smith's question. Those points are these. At this point, Mr. Garcia has not spent one day in custody beyond the maximum that he would have been, that he was facing when he came back to the United States illegally in March of 2006. He faced 2 years on this underlying conviction, and he faced 1 year of supervised release on a previous conviction. So he was facing 3 years. He served in all, in pretrial detention, 2 years, 7 months, and some days. So at this point, he has not served 1 year beyond what was authorized by law. Second point, at this point,
that might be a fact, but why does that matter?
Well, it matters for the reasons that Judge Smith indicated earlier. The probationary sentence here, I think, is a lot of bluster in a sense, or bark. It's not clear, even though I think there was an intent to have teeth, I'm not sure it really has teeth for the reasons that Judge Smith indicated. I think Mr. Zugman pointed out in his reply brief, if Mr. Garcia comes back, the interplay with the credit for time served statute, 3585, plus the revocation of probation statute, 3565, probably means that Judge Burns will not be able to impose any custody time whatsoever if he comes back. I do think Judge Burns was intending to raise the specter of deterrence, very much so. That's very clear from the record. It's not clear to me that that specter is much more than a specter.
What happens if he comes back and they bust his probation? It sounded to me like what the judge was saying was, well, you're going to get stuck in prison anyway for a while, or in jail. When we bust your probation and you come back, you're going to be put in jail until we get around to doing something about it. Well, sounded like that's what he was saying. Is that what does happen when somebody violates their probation? What happens to me? Well, I violate my probation. You guys pick me up on the street and put me in the slammer?
There would probably be an order to show cause why you've not violated the terms and conditions of your probation. And yes, there usually it's the case that there's a no bail warrant. But
so the threat is that if he violates his probation, he's going back to jail, and then we'll get around to your case eventually.
I would respectfully disagree, and here's why. If Mr. Garcia comes back and he's brought to the attention of the immigration authorities, he's going to be placed in custody for immigration reasons, first point. Second point, he's going to be facing another 1326 charge. Again, it's a specter that really doesn't have substance because he's not going to, he will be in jail. I mean, I will concede that. But it won't be solely because of this underlying case and this probation. To kind of segue into my third point, Mr. Garcia is in Mexico now, as far as I know. The sun shines on him in Mexico as it would in the United States. The probation that he's serving, it's punishment in a technical sense because probation has been held punishment in previous cases. I'm not sure it really qualifies as punishment in the colloquial sense here. It really is meant to be the district court, I want to deter you from coming back. This is the tool I have to do it, and no statute, so far as the government could tell, prevents the district court from doing what it did. And that was the bottom line of what I was trying to get across in our papers. I don't know if the court has questions. I'd be happy to try to answer them. If the court has other questions on this or the 496 matter.
The district court never sentenced him to prison, right?
That's correct.
We had a mandamus, and if I remember, the mandamus occurred before sentence.
That's correct. There was only one sentence imposed, and that was the sentence of probation.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Would you like a minute for rebuttal?
Unless the court has questions, I think I can move on.
Thank you. Case just argued. 10 minutes. We are adjourned.